Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Syria is increasingly the focus of NATO, as Turkey has warned that it wants assurances from NATO that it will defend Turkey from the consequences of the spiraling chaos across the border. I recently discussed that with Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the Secretary General of NATO. Rasmussen was both looking forward to challenges in the year ahead in the Middle East and Syria, as well as looking back at a challenging year for NATO forces in Afghanistan.
NATO has no intention to intervene militarily in Syria. Obviously, we are following the situation with great concern, in particular when it comes to the possible spillover to countries, other countries in the region. And unfortunately, we have seen incidents. We have seen the shooting down of a Turkish aircraft. We have seen shellings across the Syrian-Turkish border, loss of life on the Turkish side of the border. So it's a very unfortunate situation. I can assure you that NATO has all plans in place to protect and defend Turkey effectively.
Based on the conditions of the alliance of NATO, isn't it possible that Turkey could call unilaterally for a ground invasion or some much more aggressive activity in Syria based on its presence in NATO?
No. The fact is that Turkey has requested consultations with allies on a couple of occasions, and that's quite natural. We keep the situation under review. If Turkey sends requests for further measures to ensure effective protection of the Turkish population and territory, that will of course be considered, and I think considered positively, by allies. But as an alliance, we have no intention to intervene militarily in Syria.
Mr. Secretary General, looking forward to 2013, given the state of menace that apparently NATO troops have had regarding the Afghan police and security forces they are training, it's hard to know what improvements or tactical success is likely to happen in Afghanistan over the next 12 months. I hate to be pessimistic, but it seems pretty grim.
I can tell you that 2013 will indeed be a very important year. At a certain stage in 2013, we will hand over lead responsibility to the Afghans in all provinces in Afghanistan. So from, I would think, around mid-2013, the Afghan will have taken lead responsibility for security all over Afghanistan. So it will be a very important year.
What are the measures for determining whether the Afghans are ready to do that? Or are we simply in a kind of cut-and-run mode here?
No, we are absolutely not running for the exit. We have clear indications and even evidence that the Afghan security forces are capable to take a lead responsibility. Already now, they are in the lead of security in areas where 75% of the population in Afghanistan live. And that transition to Afghan lead responsibility has been a great success. Actually, we have seen a decline in the number of enemy attacks in those areas. And we have seen increasing capability of the Afghan security forces, and we will continue to train and educate them. So I'm confident that we are on the right track, and we can hand over full responsibility to the Afghans by the end of 2014 as planned.
Finally, as you look forward to 2013 as certainly one of the most important military leaders in the world, what are your chief concerns and optimistic goals over the next 12 months?
The goals are very clear. Our major operation is our operation in Afghanistan. And in 2013, we reached an important milestone, I would say, because by mid-2013, I would expect to have handed over lead responsibility to the Afghan security forces all over Afghanistan. We will stay with our combat mission until the end of 2014. And from 2015, we will establish a NATO-led training mission in Afghanistan. So our goals are quite clear for 2013. Furthermore, we have to address the economic challenges. Most governments are faced with severe economic austerity that has an impact on defense budgets, and we have to make sure that despite economic austerity, we will be able to acquire the necessary military capabilities in the future. And that will be one of the challenges in 2013. And finally, I hope to see progress in our talks with Russia on cooperation on missile defense. But all in all, I'm quite optimistic about the prospects for 2013.
Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the Secretary General of NATO. He spoke to us from NATO headquarters in Brussels. Up next, we're talking about gun ownership with Kyle Cassidy, author of Armed America, Portraits of Gun Owners in Their Homes. And we want to know, do you own a gun? Why or why not?
Hi, my name's Kurt. I'm calling from Miramar, Florida. I grew up with guns my entire life, never had any problems. And my question is, why are we always focused on the gun as the tool of this and not the person using the tool? Where is the education? Where is the mental health support in this country? That's where we should be focused on, not focusing on a tool.
On our Facebook page, listener Kelly listed the reasons why she owns guns. One, because they were my dad's. Two, I used to hunt. Three, for home protection. Four, because we used to target practice. Five, we go hiking and camping, and it's always wise to have a form of protection. She adds, we grew up in the South, and that was part of our culture. Today, I dislike having a gun with me and do not necessarily believe I will be able to defend myself. Call 877-8-MY-TAKE to share your thoughts on gun ownership or weigh in on anything else you hear on the program.